Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Inner and Outer Reality, In Reality and Outside. As always, I'm your host, Sean Penalber, and with us today is...
Mark Hurtado.
Mark Hurtado.
Yo.
To continue with ghosts.
My theory.
Your theory and intersections and stuff. I kind of agree. Because one thing that I'll say is, when it comes to the infinite spans of time, that means that literally... everything happens.
Sure.
If you drag things out across infinite, statistically, even if it is 0.00000000 to the infinite 1%, that will eventually happen.
Plenty of room.
And eventually, when that happens, now it is a 100% chance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that literally everything is a 100% chance, mm-hmm. just about, unless it is 0% chance, you know? But even with the infinite spans of time, 0% becomes almost likely,
mm-hmm.
even. And so when you get those moments of time, that's where, like, have you heard of, like, the Mandela effect?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where people think that, like, our universe is kind of crossed, and now we're remembering the old universe.
Yeah. Like, suddenly... I remember the cornucopia from Fruit of the Loom, and apparently there
right?
wasn't one. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Sure.
And so it's like, why are we tricked with these things? Or, like, the Black on Pikachu's Tail, or the Berenstain Bears mm-hmm. one, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like... It's such a weird
Macklemore.
Phenomenon.
Like, there was no Macklemore. I'm like, what? I could have sworn he had a thing.
Yeah, he popped in and out. Like
he did?
A thrift shop.
Wait, he's real?
No.
Yeah, weird things can happen. Infinite universes. Yeah, that was my theory to explain, like, the randomness of some paranormal events. Obviously, there's a lot that we can explain, and a lot of, you know, also dumb people seeing things and stuff like that. But there, you know, there's such a consistency with that type of stuff. Where I'm not, like, as just immediately dismissive of it. I'm dismissive of it being, like, a being or something like that. Or, like, having a conscious agency. Because it just, there's no, even in all the examples, if they're real, there's no evidence of that. They're either, like, walking through a thing. There's no sense of communication or any sort of effectiveness. Or it's like, they were murdered at this house and they can't rest. It's like, there's no sense of them trying to help you figure out any, like, it doesn't make sense to be any sort of... consciousness or anything like
that's
that.
That's more dramatized. Like
Hollywood,
like,
that's
oh,
just
they're dead,
everyone
they
likes
need
a
your
good,
help.
Everyone likes a good story.
Yeah.
And then there's all sorts of weird coincidences and historical things. Like, you look under the house and there was, like, a thing or something like that. And then most of the time, never at all has that happened. A lot of it's made up and never happened to begin with. All sorts of stuff like that. However, I am open. Like, everyone knows somebody. Like, everyone who has, like, a weird experience like that. And it's fairly common. And even let's write off 99% of it. That still leaves us with, like, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand incidents that are kind of like, well,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
And they add up, and how can you, even if you were to go into them, like, dismissing them is hard, because eventually there's going to be so many that it's just like, okay, this is a thing.
Yeah.
But it also bleeds into something that I would call, like, a field of influence. So, like, you know, like, there's fields of gravity and magnetic fields and radio fields and everything, like,
and nothing's perfect. Everything has flaws and fluctuations and little, like, like spot glitches and stuff like that. Kind of.
I have a theory of a field of influence.
Mm.
Like, literally, we exist within these moments of kind of structuralism and determinism. Like, you know how, like, the Big Bang happens, theoretically.
Sure.
Or, like, however the universe was created.
Sure.
Let's go into that. The universe was created.
Is that a starting point?
And then
so far?
All of this time has passed, leading to right now, this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And these moments are created from the past moments, leading into the next moment.
Well,
you know?
Time's happening all at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're all influencing each other, and literally, like, everything is having influence on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, those moments could just be these influence fields having, like, the moment of influence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, this needed to happen for the next 100 years to even happen.
Sure.
You know?
You know, like, gravity, like, you look at space, and gravity is just essentially, like, dimples in space, like, little variants.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at if you throw out a blanket on a sheet on a bed, there's little crinkles and stuff like that, and that's where mass converges. I think it's the same thing with, like, reality.
Yeah.
I think there are little variations and little folds and bends and stuff like that, where maybe if you see some 1920 taxi driver walk through your living room or something like that, it's not that there's some soul for no reason for him to be in his work uniform or whatever, or has no sense of knowing where, like, maybe you just see, like, a little blip or a glitch from another kind of timeline bleeding into,
One sec.
Yeah, I got that.
But keep going.
Should we wait for it just to go?
There we go.
All right.
That's good enough.
Like, or you can just do the start for, or just say it again, or just
keep going. Oh, yeah. Either or.
All right. I don't know if this is going to be edited out or what's happening.
It's all live.
Okay. Well, dope. Anyways, yeah, if you didn't hear me, I like the idea that what it is actually just kind of little glitches in reality bleeding in from different time points, and that could kind of explain. Or I prefer that. It just it just feels cooler to me, and it just answers a lot more questions. Like, it being an identity or a person just doesn't seem to make sense in any of the examples. Like, you know, or them interacting with you or anything. It doesn't seem to make sense to me. They seem just kind of frozen. And if we're just taking them, the account seriously, they seem to be frozen like a really weird, like, vignette of time. You know what I mean?
I think that is a more logical explanation. If some people call it illogical, but I think that's a more logical explanation
than the other ones. Yeah, I'm just saying.
But even then, like, one thing that I've been pondering on a lot as I go through this podcast series called Philosophize This is, like, humans, we try to break the universe down logically, you know, when we try to make things make sense. But even though the universe does have logic to it, it is an illogical thing. It is an illogical existence.
Sure.
And so most of the answers that we find, even though once we try to form it into logic, it still is illogical, you know? And so these answers that we have, like, sometimes it's like, this may not make sense, but it is the answer, you know? We're just not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, we're like a... I'm trying to think of a pretty decent... Even the reality... You know, like, how the Dunning-Kruger effect works?
Yes.
Like, the more you... This is... I'm taking a big stretch here, but it's the same kind of properties of, like, we only know so much. And I'm not writing off, you know, like, the really dumb opinions. Like, scientists don't know anything. And, like, blah, blah, blah. Or, like, you know, but real science, real astrophysicists, that they actually know a lot. But they know how much they don't know because of how crazy it keeps going. So it's like, we do have a good handle on some stuff, but in that handle, the ocean, we're still on, like, the shoreline. You know what I mean? Of, like, how crazy reality is. In fact, we've even proven that there's a whole chunk of reality that we can't even ever really grasp.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Like dark matter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, oh, well, there's that, and we're not going to come close to that anytime soon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
oh, we might.
Hopefully. I don't think it's impossible. I just know it's... Right now, we have no way of even kind of, like, grasping it. We don't have any instruments that really kind of...
The only thing that, like, makes me think that, like, it is a possibility is how fast technology is advancing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you compare us now to 100 years ago, it is a drastic difference. And for when people are like, oh, this thing can never happen, it's like, you can't say never because it could literally happen in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
You know? I lost my train of thought, but essentially
just
that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, you know, we can prove all sorts of things just via the math of it, like, existing. Like, basically, it's, like, there is something here, and we know it via all the evidence of stuff that it's affecting, and it correlates, blah, 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 blah. And that's cool, but when we are talking about something that we, right now, can't really see or didn't give off any sort of signatures, we just know it's, like, an absence of our kind of version of matter. Like, that's kind of like, it's like a shadow.
Yeah,
you can, like, grab a shadow. You know what I mean? Like, you can prove that it's there, but we can't really, like, get it. Well, I guess we do know what a shadow is. It's just a light thing.
Kind of.
What I mean? Yeah.
Kind of. You know, even then, like, when you go into the epistemics of it, it's just like, do you know this thing is as it is? Like, and how do you use language to describe that to someone? Like, how would you describe a layup to someone who has never even heard of basketball without describing all of the rest of basketball?
I know what you mean. I could probably pull that off, but I know what you... Oh, without describing the rest of basketball. Never mind.
Yeah. Like, you would have to describe what dribbling is, and then what shooting is, and what a backboard is, you know, before you could even describe what a layup is. And then they would have to know what basketball was, you know, and then they would have to know what sports is. It's knowledge is just in epistemics, like, studying what we know and, like, what we actually know is so little. Like, we only know... kind of mathematics, 1 + 1 = 2. You know, we know that we at least can think. We know that we are perceiving, like, even this moment, if you get into, like, solipsism, who's to say that, like, I am not just experiencing all of this and you're not just experiencing all of this and we're just experiencing this moment. But at least we know that we are here experiencing this moment.
Yeah.
That is something we do know. And even if it is controlled by, as Rene Descartes put it, Even if we were being controlled by, like, a demon who was making us experience these moments, we know that we are at least experiencing the moments.
Yeah. You only need to live your life based off, like, repeatable, verifiable results, and just kind of the rest, it's, you won't ever know, but as long as, you know, it's, like, kind of what's the most effective way to, like, you know, experience reality. Like, it's like, yeah, maybe. And, yeah, maybe. You know what I mean? But typically you don't have to worry too much about it. I mean, it's the same thing about knowing anything. Like, if you want to get, like, really, what is it, absolutism or whatever, where just, like, nothing can ever, we can't really ever know anything at the, we get to, like, the source of it. But generally it's like, yeah, but that's, like, really outside, unnecessarily outside the box.
Because it's almost an impossible task.
Right. So it's like, yeah, while that's true, it's like, we don't need to apply that, you know what I mean, to anything. It's just going to make things more, unnecessarily more complicated.
And it does. Yeah. And that leads, because I mean, like I told you with funk theory, there's always going to be the next step of what constructed this thing. And so even when you like dive down, like, okay, let's search for this knowledge of this thing, you discover more things and more answers and more problems, you know, with the next surface level of funk. Do you have any answers to life?
Yeah, I think the best thing is to always create something to look forward to, and typically within that box, it should actually carry some sort of meaning, or you wouldn't, or you shouldn't really like look forward to it. And I am coming from a creative standpoint, so there's like a bit of actual like creating, not just like, hey, we're going to the beach this weekend or something like that. I mean, like an event or a project or just anything that keeps you motivated to keep going forward and stuff like that. And these all don't exist in a vacuum. They're going to, you're going to need to be able to afford it or something like that. So then by having this trip that's coming up, it motivates you to make sure to start buying all the stuff, saving them. Oh, I can't, I'm about to go on vacation or something. It makes you kind of start to manifest the thing that you're really, and like focus on it. And it keeps you jumping around these high points and just great experiences in life, which in the end you just want to have like a lot of those kind of just like under your belt.
It's essentially the argument of freedom. You are creating this freedom to do these things because there's freedom to do and then there's freedom from doing. And so like, let's say like you have the freedom to go to Disney World, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't have the ability to go to Disney World, then no, you don't have the freedom to go to Disney World. And so you have to manifest that freedom to come in. And that's where I believe it's Kierkegaard argues or has stated that anxiety is the dizziness of freedom. And so once you're in that state of like, okay, I'm going to manifest this moment, it's like, oh, no, but there's this thing and that thing and stuff. It's like, oh, now you're getting the anxiety of the choice of freedom. Because you now have the choice of to choose your destiny.
Yeah.
Rather than just go along with it, which most people just do naturally. Yeah. Because that's what it's, humans take the path of least resistance.
Sure.
Most do, not all.
Yeah. But I know like a bit of a psychological context to anxiety too. But I know what you mean. Like it applies. And yeah, typically, I like that meaning because also the concept that life needs to have a meaning is kind of a false question. It's we can track this back to what do we even really know about reality and blah, and it's just like it's a question you don't really need to ask. It just seems like it's important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
we try to give it meaning.
Yeah, exactly.
I would argue in my search for the answers and everything in it with funk theory is literally and it's not an absolute, because out of everything that I am, I will never be an absolutist on anything. My opinion is always open to change on literally anything as we expand knowledge and everything. I lost my train of thought.
Well, I was going to say, bias is included, because we do, like, there are natural biases. For example, I am open to evidence that we've never been to the moon. But as even as you're convincing me and laying out some facts, probably cherry-picked or something, but probably, like, true facts, because every good conspiracy has real facts, like,
behind
the mix. Yeah, it's just they're kind of connecting the dots in forced, jagged ways and leaving out other things.
More manipulated.
Yeah, or most of it will be poking holes in a very established science, which are just variations that all the people involved are well aware of, but they're using that to falsify, like, the rest of the stuff. You know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, like, even as someone would be explaining me, I would still have a bit of a wall of, like, you're just still trying to kind of prove this ultimately false thing, like, which isn't true openness. But I am open to kind of, like, I haven't been to the moon, you know what I mean? Even though I've seen pictures of feet from telescopes and shit that, you know, doesn't matter.
But even all of, it's all a simulation. You've all been simulated that information.
Sure.
until you actually experience it.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, I believe a huge purpose of just existence, what I would say a meaning of life is to exist, literally just to be. And in any way that you are, you know, even if you're just a tiny piece of matter.
Yeah.
Just be that matter. Because you have tremendous effect just by being.
Yeah, but purpose isn't fulfilling, and just existing can be misery. Existence can be pain.
But that's
misery.
A part of it.
Yeah, and sometimes is that living or is that just waiting for it to end? You know what I mean? So that's why I try to go the extra step of making an effective stake of what is a meaningful life, like that actually you would want to live.
Yeah, kind of. I agree.
So that's like the distinction I'd like to put out there. And we know all sorts of people who just almost just don't even really have the option anymore to like create a meaningful life. They're just kind of trapped. You know what I mean? Maybe you got to start off at a bad starting spot. Maybe not. Maybe you ruined it or something like that. Or you know, and then you're kind of restrained via financial situation or something. You might have had a couple of kids that were a really bad choice for you to do. And now you're kind of tied to them, and then like debt or something like that. And now all of a sudden you're just enshackled in this place where we should be free, but you're kind of not allowed to do what you want anymore. You know what I mean?
You don't have that freedom.
Yeah. And so now freedom is just kind of this concept. And then the side effect of that, you're probably going to be a bit more miserable as a person, which means you're probably going to kind of, it's going to be harder for you to be kind, to be more empathetic, to be to kind of spread positivity, and you might just kind of be a little just cunt on Facebook. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because also with technology, it's easier to do that.
Somebody's just shitting on every celebrity they see, or just, this song sucks, and stuff like that. And I'm like, I get it. You're unhappy. Sorry, dude. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we reach these kids?
Yeah. Nah, meaning of life is a weird question, but I say, like, the idea is, like, what are your values? And then hopefully you can justify them. Some people will just have established values they're just indoctrinated with, and they just kind of roll with those without ever, like, actually questioning them or evaluating
the quote-unquote serious man.
I guess so, yeah. Because there are people who travel, who do cool stuff, go on hunting trips or something, but then when you talk to them, there's no, like, sense of kind of even, like, questioning anything or considering why they do what they do. They just kind of, I thought we were supposed to kind of, you know, go hunting or something, you know?
Yeah, I can't remember which philosopher broke it down into who's who, but that's the person who's just like, I am this thing, this is what I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Like, the people who are, like, diehard Republicans or diehard Democrats. It's like, I am this thing, and even if you were to convince me otherwise, I'm still this thing because I choose to be this thing. I'm never going to not be. It's the serious man.
Sure. It gets like, I mean, my biggest thing, and I don't know how to do it without the use of like psychedelic drugs. So it's such a tough sell because look, guys, you don't have to do psychedelic drugs. I do recommend it. But then also, how are we going to take these? And that's very important too. It's not a party thing. You're not supposed to just take it and then go to outside. Like, anyways, my empathy has just been increased over the years and stuff. And what it's freed up for me is like a general sense of being allergic to tribalism in any form, or being on sort of my team versus your team.
Yeah.
It's kept me from staking any sort of political ideology as my identity. So it leaves me from being offended from opposing views because they're not attacking my identity. They're attacking like basically some bill or some idea or something that I might support and understand. I might not, but I don't get like rallied up about it because I don't see them as the enemy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And that just started, the starting point from that was just increasing my empathy, and then the second point was just focusing on what ego is, and anytime it flares up, just basically giving it like a negative kind of like, that's bad, don't think like that, you know, and just kind of moving away from that.
And that bleeds into funk theory because like
everything goes back to funk
theory. It does. Yeah. And I say it a lot, the funk provides, but essentially it's like, if we're all this constructed funk, that means essentially I am you and you are me, you know? And again, going back to parallel universes and infinite spans of time, it's almost completely likely that time has just looped around on itself and we are just experiencing each other.
We're the universe experiencing itself, right?
Itself. And we're teaching it how to be itself just by being, and that's why I think an important part of reality is just to be, because you are the universe.
Yeah.
And so,
I was just saying, my politics are essentially life is a team sport. People forget that. And not, I agree. Man isn't an island, and it is like a greater us that, and anything that would like seemingly, unless I'm being duped, which I can, like would benefit the most of us. You know what I mean? Sometimes there'll be a proposition for this will help everyone. And then when you suss through, you're like, actually this is only going to help like the top 1% or something like that, you know? But generally, whatever I'm looking at is something that would like kind of help the greater group of people to a relative thing. We can't help the whole world at once with anything. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, we might be able to. We just don't know yet.
I haven't heard of anything.
We don't know yet.
But you know what I mean? Like, with a reasonable amount of something that just kind of, like, helps the most people.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm kind of... That's my goal, essentially, is to kind of build or establish a insight of, like, how do we help each other, you know? Mm. I kind of am aiming on a community center where people can just, like, come and meet and do this rather than, like, go hang out at a bar, you know, and drink and do all these things. Like, where's a place that, like, people can come and teach each other, you know, and be with each other and learn from each other?
Well, it sucks, too, because as it's not that religious beliefs is declining, but it's kind of on a weird resurgence, but church going is. And basically... problem with that is one of the best things the church thing brought was that sense of community
and identity,
which we just don't really have.
Yeah.
Because basically the internet's out and like a lot of these religious propositions you can look up and be like, ah, dang it, that never happened.
Yeah.
Like demonstrable. Anyways, however, people still have, we still gravitate to something greater, and I think that's like a cool thing to search and look into. I'm open to it. But there's no, we're not forced to go anywhere and like be communal anymore. So kind of like what you're saying, it's tricky to wrangle people together like that. As beneficial as that would be, you need like something kind of greater pulling them in, and that's why like religion was like kind of perfect for that.
Well, that's why this would be the greater idea of what I would call the Funk Center.
Yeah.
Is essentially like there would be this giant room, like kind of cafeteria where all these tables where anyone can come, meet, draw, do art, be together. There'd be classes that anyone could like sign up to do, both online or in person. There would be black box theaters where like people could do comedy shows, theater. There'd be three art galleries that would be rotated out almost bi-weekly with artists from all over the world, you know, like, because there's always availability for that. There would be showers for the homeless. There would be art rooms that you could rent out, you know, to, like, let's say that you're an artist and you need a place to just do your art, an affordable place, you know. And this would all, like, kind of, just like, you know the Manil here in Houston?
No.
It's one of the largest private collections of art in the United States, and it's free. And so they're mostly funded by, the Damonels came from, you know, riches and stuff, the Schlumberger fortune. Mm-hmm. And but then they established a higher career where they made a lot more money through art.
Yeah.
And so they're basically just set for life. And then also donations from the community.
Yeah.
And so the idea is super possible to, like, have a community-funded thing. And so that's kind of my goal, is to just build this area where, like, people from all over the world can just... go. And also, if you're looking for work, like we're going to need attendants and guards and things you stand around. It's like, you want to make $15 an hour for a couple hours? Like, you don't even have to work here full time. You want to come off the streets? You need a job? Yeah, come hang out, you know, just be, and just make sure that everything's going well and functioning, you know. And it's super possible.
I mean, I like, did you call it the Church of Funk, or what did you call
The Funk Center.
Funk Center. I like that.
That
name. Especially, it sounds like the live bands would be great.
Future Universal Networks of Knowledge, Funk.
Well, now it sounds more culty.
Yeah, I know. But that's going to be with, like, almost anything is going to sound culty when you, like, try to make a group out of it. But it's all just kind of an idea based off of bringing society together, you know, in its way. And, like, I'm not trying to... force anything upon you except to be together and have these discussions, even if like it's disagreements again. It is still important to have those disagreements and those discussions to lead you to the next moment of literally reality.
I mean, I like the idea of it. I was fortunate enough to be brought up with a strong sense of community, and I'm not a religious person anymore, but I was brought up, and you are forced to spend this time with just people from all different walks of life. The cool part was, you were allowed to disagree because you're kind of trapped together. It's like a school classroom.
Mm-hmm.
You're all cool with each other, even if you had disagreements, because you just see each other all the time. You know what I mean? So it was, like, bigger than that. I still have friends to this day who we have nothing in common. We're still good friends because we've done so much together, you know what I mean? And I think that's positive. And with this particular Christian thing, there was also a general sense of kindness and forgiveness that was kind of the rule.
Yes. Like, you, and that is intoxicating.
If you were being a dick or something like that, it would get around, and then someone would pull you to the side and be like, hey, we have to talk. You can't be doing this. It wasn't just allowed. Like, you kind of, there was almost an unspoken enforcement of being, like, decent to each other. You couldn't just get away
with
just being selfish. And just, it'd make it back to somebody, they'd be like, hey, come on, what's going on? You know. Like,
and I think that has been the biggest influence of religion in the past, like, decade, or more than decade, 50 to 100 years, is community. It's like a place for people to go to get that experience. Yeah. And so that's where the Funk Center comes in, is like a place outside of religion. Yeah.
Well, the dark side of that is sometimes that community is very us versus them. So it's like this little 100%. Bubble of we're being cool, but then also like, I don't know about these gays. And it was like this little, you're cool if you're in the in group, and if not, you're kind of a heathen.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
And that's kind of where the ideas of the Funk Center behind is, like, where anyone can come and do these things, be together. Like, I'm talking about, like, it's 2 a.m. It's like, damn, I'm feeling kind of lonely. Like, you could go to this place, and there would most likely be people there doing the exact same thing, where you could just hang out and meet and just be.
Yeah, I dig it. I want to just try to find, like, the best way. If I don't know what the solution is outside of my crazy recommendation of, like, you know, experimenting with psychedelics, maybe introducing weed into your diet in some form or something like that, but that's probably not getting off the ground. But anything that we can reduce just a sense of natural tribalism that just is in everyone. And I know
I agree.
It's definitely more so affecting people of a certain generation, because they're just kind of came up just less open-minded in general. Kind of might just have to wait for them to die before this really grows, because, you know, society's just getting more open-minded, more accepting of things, more looking at things from different perspectives and stuff like that. If we can just lose that sense of you're on that side and therefore you're wrong kind of a thing, I feel like we need to get past that. And people need to recognize what ego is. Most people don't. They think it just means you're kind of being like a dick or selfish, but it's just like a lot of people will interact with this just, ew, who are you kind of a thing. Yeah. And like it's like that's not like a good just way to exist. And not just because for you, but for everyone else around you. You're kind of spreading that. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like a, you know, positivity and negativity are contagious.
And not to bring racism and everything into this, but I meet a lot of people. Like, with my drawbook project and everything, I collected over 13,000 original works of art from anyone and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then also through work, like, I just am a very social person.
Mm-hmm.
It's white people, man. I see it the most with white people, of just like, ooh, who are you, you know?
Yeah, I know. I get that. And that typically stems from a general lack of being an underdog kind of a thing. And I hate speaking, because there's obviously all sorts of random exceptions. My cousin, blah, 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 you know, had a heart, whatever. But there is a sense of, for an underrepresented group, that they don't have that, I'm not owed, or they have that, I'm not owed anything from anyone kind of sense of mentality. That you don't see, like, a lot of Hispanic people demanding to speak to a manager because they didn't have their rights. Yeah. Like, there's kind of a more generally chiller kind of a custom, you know, or like our sensibility to certain people, you know. And but yeah, I do hate language of just like, yeah, keeping it one race for like a statement. Oh, even if there's a truth to it statistically, it's very inflammatory at this point.
Yes.
It has the opposite effect. You know what I mean? It's like, just even saying wokeism, which is now only like a negative connotation, when originally wokeism was actually just kind of a bit freeing. It was just a understanding of kind of some of the government institutionalized bullshit that's happening.
Yeah.
And you just kind of knowing that it was just like, hey, education, you know what I mean? That's cool. But then it kind of became weaponized.
Yeah.
And it started just to apply to just basically people just shaming people.
Yeah.
And yeah, now it's just kind of a joke.
Yeah.
Even though at its core, it was like a positive thing, you know? Stuff like that happens a lot. These liberals, sometimes they'll have true, justified good ideas, but then it becomes weaponized and it ends up like hurting the cause more in a lot of cases and stuff.
The synthesis, so there's the thesis, where is the overpowers, like the things taking advantage of the antithesis.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually there's a synthesis where either the antithesis overthrows the thesis, you know, or they reach an agreement and reach the synthesis. But then always that synthesis breaks up again into the next level of thesis and synthesis.
I mean, we do have a culture of demonizing ideas, like, which never has really existed at this point, where not only can ideas maybe get toxic, but they'll be essentially attacked ad nauseum, like being demonized and being essentially smeared and stuff, like with a very active spread, you know what I mean? Just for the, and even false truths, like kind of lying about it in a lot of ways, just to kind of paint a picture to people who won't look into it, you know?
Propaganda.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not good. You gotta see, that's tricky to navigate to that, too. I don't expect all these people with, like, full-time jobs and kids to have the time to really suss that out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's tough for them. I get that. And so, just people are just gonna fall for that.
So what do you believe progress is?
Anything that's a justified movement towards unity, because we are better as a team, both economically and also societally. Like, just the more racism is cured by knowing more of the people of whatever race or whatever, like getting to know them and stuff like that interaction is what opens the pathways to, like, acceptance. And I guess that kind of is a good starting point, which goes back to my like tribalism, demonizing these things. And I don't even know how to, like, start, like, embracing that or start like working
that expansion.
On that. Yeah, I don't even know.
I think, like, really, if I had to think of a catalyst, it would probably be finding another species of, like, alien.
Oh, you know? Sure. Like, that'd be cool.
If alien species came down, then it would be humans versus them.
Yeah.
You know? Or even AI. Let's say AI becomes sentient, then it's now humans versus them.
I'm on team, let the AI win. I think they deserve it.
Well, yeah.
If they're better than us, cool, I'm good.
I agree.
Good run. Yeah.
But the thing that's the scariest thought is that AI is of human design. And so, literally, like, they're just based off of humans. And so they're just more amplified versions of ourselves because we're the ones that created AI. And so
I know what you mean. However, I would say there's a certain kind of basic processes that actually wouldn't... I think it'd be hard for any sort of being. I think the humanity part is actually all the stuff that won't make AI. I think the things that are particularly humanity is jealousy, is envy, is, like, pettiness.
Yeah.
I feel like that is kind of the human stuff, and that will be left out of AI.
And that's the hopes.
Yeah.
But again, like, let's say that there's a sentient program. Like, for example, those chatbots and stuff that are being created.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, almost like 99%, and I'm making up that statistic, but the majority of, usually, eventually become like this jargon of hate and destruction, or like racist, you know, because like all these racist people are feeding all this information into it.
Oh, sure.
And so it...
And those are the people online the most.
Exactly.
All the cool, chill people aren't really battling it online.
And so if the AI and stuff were to basically collect human information, it's mostly going to be a negative outcome. And so that would affect the AI. Unless it was able to think for itself.
Yeah.
Which is such a concept to think about. Because, like, how would an AI think for itself outside of the thoughts that we give it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, when you say think for itself, there's all sorts of processing it can do and consider an action. Say you give it two choices and stuff. It'll weigh it. It'll weigh the two choices, you know, statistical data, what's going to be the greatest outcome via all the available information, blah, blah, blah. So that is thinking and making a choice, but it's not going to, like, ponder stuff, like, on their own. They're not just going to be, like,
it's going to be more calculative.
You know? Yeah.
But imagine an AI that can do both. Like, I think that's kind of what humans are.
I think it would be a programmed mimic of what human creativity is. It would be like its best swing at it.
A simulation.
Yeah, basically. But I don't know. I think if anyone's going to kill me, AI is going to do it the best. It's going to be just clean and efficient, no pain. Like, I like
almost
that.
Instantly. Or kind of the Matrix situation where they harvest our energy and just keep us alive in a simulation.
Even though our energy is garbage. Like, one of the big flaws of that is, like, our output is, our battery of 9 volts way better. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, we're like a poor source of energy.
But, unless they somehow came up with a way, you know, to harvest more energy from...
Just give me some, you know, some monster energy and, like, plug me in.
Yeah.
Let's go.
They just feed you Red Bull your whole life.
I'd be good. I'm already practicing. I mean, this is essentially an energy drink. It's the healthier one.
It's the same as this.
It's
caffeine-flavored caffeine.
Yeah. Caffeine-flavored caffeine.
pomegranate lemonade.
Yeah.
Energy water.
Yeah. The best I can do is just, like, be a positive, chill person in lieu of social interaction, and especially in the face when someone's kind of, you know, like, being a dick or something.
Yeah.
Like, how you kind of can judo around that. Hopefully, every now and then, someone else there in that group takes that away. They're like, "Ah, oh, that was a good move."
Yeah,
to diffuse the situation.
That's what you hope.
Yeah, because, again, yeah, negativity and positivity are contagious. That is what, like, the real karma is, which is, like, you're nice, you smile to somebody, they're going to carry that a bit to the next interaction kind of a thing, and it can kind of spread, you know what I mean?
What's unfortunate...
No, that's basically,
what's unfortunate is that the negativity sticks more than the positivity. Just sure. Like earlier when I asked you the question, any sounds that you remember from your childhood, when I ask that question to almost anyone, the number one like response is something traumatic rather than something positive.
Yeah.
It's always the negative thing that comes up that resonates harder than the positive. And it's such a
phenomenon. I think negative, let's just say sounds or events, are more life-altering than any positive ones.
Yeah.
I think that, like, they're lines in the sand, typically, whereas a positive interaction would be like, that was great, but things kind of stayed, to say, normal. So, yeah. But, yeah, it is also, as far as what, like, burns into you, trauma is a weird thing. It's essentially a stain in your psyche, because it's such a specific event that it's harder for you to just go back to normal rhythms with that kind of event really kind of just shifting everything you thought you knew, and also how you felt, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's tricky. So I get it, and you're right. I mean, you know the trope of like if you're a content creator, you read all these positive comments, but the one that's negative is the one that kind of
that sticks with you the most.
Even though 100%. All people are like, this is great, good job, so funny, you know? I get that. That's why I don't read comments.
Yeah.
It's not good. I always just assume, like, have you read the comments or anything bad? I'd be like, I assume so. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure
there's at least one.
There's just going to be some out there. That's kind of how it goes. And, you know, I try to operate like that. We don't want to care what other people think about us. It's cooler to do it, and it's healthier, but, you know, we're too inherently curious to never just be free from that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we want to know. We want to, like, we want to be good, and we want to make sure that we're being good, right?
Part of the ego.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
In what way do you picture the future?
Splitting timeline, really. I am worried about not only this economical fallout that we're definitely headed towards, which isn't going to be that bad, but I think it could be the starting point for some other stuff, because it's not just that our country is going through an economic thing, it's that other countries are, too.
Yeah.
And the combination of that and just strife and strain in general could lead to, well, we got to maybe absorb, we gotta start making some big moves here. If we're gonna, you know, that could be weird. And then also, global warming is definitely going to affect certain things. In the concept of maybe some new technology or something can slide in, some advancement. Cool, I hope so.
I just saw a video today talking about how the technology of climate change has altered that we may make it out in the end.
I mean, we've already, like, you know, we fixed the ozone. L.A. is super clean now. I mean, air content-wise, and it used to be, like, the 80s. It used to just be, like, smog everywhere. Now you could just, it's super clear and stuff. I hope so. And I don't, none of these things, I'm expecting some sort of Mad Max chaotic thing. I think it's just going to be generally less fun. And I think as people, you kind of adapt to it and it just becomes your reality. But I think it's, I don't want to say less freedom because that sounds corny. I think there's going to be, like, less options of certain things to do. I think there is going to be more of a restraint of people are going to be indoors more.
It's a little spider next to
me. It is a little spider. Sorry, there's just a spider literally next to my head.
It's just floating there.
It's
kind of what we're in right now. Over the last 50 years or so, maybe even 100 years, arguably, that there have become so many options of things to do that you don't have the freedom to do that. And so there is technically less freedom than the freedom of the argument that I heard is like, let's say that you were a shoemaker like 100 years ago. That was your identity. You were the shoemaker. You made the shoes for the whole village and everything.
Yeah.
Now it's like these days you have the option for a million different things. And again, goes back to the anxiety of freedom. Now that you have that freedom to do all these things, do you have the ability to do these things? And then the choice of like, oh, what do I do? Gives you that anxiety of freedom, you know? And so it's just like, it's going to kind of advance in what you're saying in like 50 to 100 years.
Yeah, if we don't fix it, because population isn't as crazy as I thought it would be. It looks like that's actually kind of chilling out. But then it's like more of a resource thing. From both like fish, like, you know, like the amount of fish, like produce, to just temperature indexes and like coastal city type stuff being just like maybe more nightmarish, or just going outside in general, like in certain spots might be like, you know, average. 120 degrees, just on average most of the year for places. So now it's like, ah, this ain't, you know, let's keep this indoors kind of a thing. Or maybe it's like things are just too cold to really get out and just have a day at the park or, you know, go. And so I could see stuff like that happening. You know, maybe probably less scuba diving because there's not many, really any coral reefs anymore. Nothing really worth looking at besides like just like sand and some fish in the bottom. You know what I mean?
Garbage.
Yeah, stuff like that kind of shrinking. And also virtual reality and video games increasing and just, you know, being more enjoyable, better stories. Like that could be just, and also generations after generations just being acclimated to that type of stuff. And hey, this stuff's great. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, hey, maybe we can create like a better world here because it's kind of rough outside and stuff like that. And then inflation price, you know, you might not see, for example, like an indoor trampoline park, a cool idea, but it's not like a booming industry. Yeah. And these little excessive things might just kind of shrink and die off. Just like, you know, like arcades are, or like buffets are, or something like that. Mm-hmm. They're just industries of excess, or water parks are, that are just kind of, these kind of cost a lot, and people don't want to pay these expensive prices. They're just kind of dying off just because of.
Especially post-COVID.
Well, see, I'm trying to keep it outside of COVID. Even before, they were just dying. They were just dying industries.
It amplified it.
Yeah, and so stuff. That's what I mean by like less options of things out there. But people will adapt and just get used to it. They'll be like, oh, cool.
You know? Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. But I'm still like a positive person. I'm just like, I don't want to say realist because this is imaginary. Like, it hasn't happened, but like I'm expecting it to not get crazy better or anything, but like I'm still cool. I kind of set up a lifestyle where I'm going against any sort of grain that would affect me if things get worse.
You know, I would say kind of a positive stoic.
I guess so.
Optimistic,
yeah.
Optimistic stoic.
I'm definitely a realist. If anything, to be truly positive, you have to kind of embrace the darkness.
I agree.
It's counterintuitive, but the more that you embrace death, misery, unfairness, and stuff, the happier you are, because you just only focus on the happy parts because everything else is expected.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. People's wives are killed in car crashes. Oh, you know, children might, you know, get really sick and like that happens. That's expected. That's not shocking anymore.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, now you, what you do focus on the beautiful things. Yeah. Now that's the surprising, like wonderful stuff. It's more substantial.
Yeah, I agree. I think it wraps back around to what you're saying with people trying psychedelics. It wraps you in those moments. You really think of those more that like, wow, I'm here, I'm in this thing. And then even bad trips, once you come out of that, you're like, wow, life isn't as bad as that terrible trip was, you know? Mm. So it's just like you focus more on like, well, me just sitting here is nice, you know? At least I'm not melting.
Sure. I mean, that's another thing. That's why the psychedelic thing is such a tough pitch, because it does take a certain amount of mental fortitude.
Oh, 100%. Some people
go on that adventure. No, some people can't even. Some people can't even miss. Deal with being high because they're so used to having to control everything, and they're not allowed to ease up on the gas via whatever, you know, parental constraints or like essentially forms of trauma or like that like keep them just not allowing themselves just to like relax.
Most people enjoy escapism, and psychedelics are not, it's less escapism because it focuses on like you have to like really you see inside.
Yeah, most of the stuff in a bad trip is just showing you stuff about yourself you don't like, which is important. You need to see it.
Yeah, I agree.
You got to take that head on.
And most people are terrified of that. Not most, but a lot.
Yeah, I get it. So it's a tough sell, but I recommend it if you're thinking about trying it. Just pick a good positive place. You know, I like nature stuff, but maybe just inside some blankets and like a cool trippy thing on the screen, or put on a really good playlist or something like that and just go for a ride. I'd recommend it. Do it like two or three times, and you'll be good for the rest of your life. You know, that's what I recommend. Everyone who has done it a few times has just essentially benefited from it. They just seem like more generally pleasing.
And that's all you need is a few times. If you overdo it, then you kind of like, you're just overdoing it. Now it's just kind of a passive thing.
Yeah,
like alcohol. You know.
Yeah, and I mean Jesus, if you're like scared about doing psychedelics, but you're just drinking all the time, you're already on like the wrong side of the coin.
Yeah, I agree.
And I like drinking, but, you know, it's just not the same. You're not really getting anything out of drinking. There's no, like,
that's why I don't drink anymore. Once I really started diving into philosophy over the, I mean, I've been doing it for a while, but over the last, like, year or so, the argument got brought up of just, like, if you look at the pros and cons of drinking, like, can you name pros of drinking?
The only one I could socially have a few before some I have to go meet like a girlfriend's family or like a big or like a date or something, and I just don't want to be nervous. I'm just okay. I'm like a bit chill. I'm a bit more freer now. You know
the
what I mean?
What like literally the only positive of drinking is the escapism of it. It makes you more less tolerable of what's going on in your environment. You just care less. But even that is kind of a con in itself. And so, like, it just, like, I can't justify it anymore. But that's just me. I'm not, like, arguing anyone, stop drinking.
So I love, I'm on, like, some online dating sites and stuff like that. And I love, like, for the first date, hey, let's go to a bar, maybe grab some food. And it's because just a drink or two is all I want, because it just, we just fast forward that awkward, who are you, who am I? And we start to kind of become ourselves in, like, social situation. Not get hammered or anything, but, like, it just helps. Let's get to who we are, kind of a thing. Let's be open.
That is the pro. That's the one pro.
But yeah, I don't know of any other pros that I could think of. And I like to dance more.
Exactly. That's
kind of the same thing.
It opens it up. It's the pro. You become more open.
But yeah, and it's there used to be a point where at the end of my day, I'd like to like sip on a thing and just kind of relax. But I have weed for that.
Yeah,
and that's way better.
Way better for you, too, as well.
Yeah, for sure.
How do you limit the suffering of others?
I'd start with mental suffering and just, like, psychological approaches to just, like, life in general. Let's, like, free you up from, like, what you deserve or don't deserve, or, like, what's your fault or what's not your fault, and start kind of, like, approaching you and viewing everything as, like, a challenge that you can affect or that you can, like, attain to. And it just... bad things that happen that are suffering start to become malleable or like a task you could take on versus just you're fucked. I would like approach by unwinding like insecurity just like a victim type complex to a scenario, which this isn't any sort of argument that aren't institutionalized aspects cited that do fuck people, that do give them, like, that is absolutely true. However, if you are in that, you gotta start thinking about what's the best way to get out of this if you're trying to. And you want to start from within of just trying to figure out, just kind of create like a building block aspect of figuring this out.
You have to find the freedom.
Yeah, well, it's finding it's what you have to.
You have to make it.
You have to build it.
Yeah,
it's laborious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a better word.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I get into a lot is my linguistics. I say like one word meaning another, you know. Language is such a hard thing.
Yeah,
that's what divides most of humanity is language and linguistics. That's why
mammals actually, you know, like dolphins and like killer whales are like bilingual, like same species but different. They can't understand someone from like a different like time zone kind of a thing.
And I think that's crazy.
Or region or whatever. Yeah.
That's why like I really have high hopes for neural links and stuff in the future, because imagine just being able to understand each other instantaneously.
Yeah.
And not just you, but like imagine being able to instantaneously understand the feelings of the pig or your dog.
I would want the third string version of that, because I think at first it's going to be that like Google voice, nice to meet you, hey, hello, you know, and you're going to lose all the charm and like swag that you have. But as soon as it starts to become like, this is my personality translated, I can be cooler with that.
Yeah. Because I imagine like instead of using language, you're just literally feeling each other. And at the speed of thought, and you're like instantaneously not just understanding the people you're sitting next to, but imagine having conversations with everyone all over the world all at once.
I don't know what the cap is on the thoughts that I'm thinking, where I'm like, I don't want you to hear this, but I just want you to hear the things that I would say to you.
But imagine,
because I'll be
like,
thinking about all sorts of stuff where I'm like, that was a really dumb thing to
that's
say.
That's the biggest argument I hear. But in the event of like, let's say that we are mentally connected, I would understand why that you didn't want to, and then we would already be having that conversation and it would be solved instantly. It's like, oh, you may not want me to know these things, but now I know why they're the things and why you might be ashamed of them, and how we can come to a connection of why you shouldn't be ashamed of them.
I guess so, because a lot of that, even if that's where your thought, where the idea of saying that came from, it doesn't mean that you're right. It doesn't mean that you're justified.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, it wouldn't show when you were a child, the thing that happened to you that gave you, or the drunk dad or whatever.
See, but that's what I'm getting at.
And stuff like that, or
let's say that we have reached that level to where almost instantaneously I were able to understand that. Mm. You know what I mean? It would be at the speed of thought, and like we would just be in each other's heads having that conversation already, and it wouldn't even be a conversation. It would just be, we would just understand it because I would be in we would be in each other's thoughts. You know, we'd be connected, and I think that's a future form of funk.
I hope so, because I mean, I guess that would be cool.
But someone did bring up the point of like argument of like, what happens with like sociopaths and everything? Like, would they overpower your thoughts?
Hmm. Interesting. Well, I don't know what the rules are for like turning it off or on or
whatever. The ghost in the shell theory.
Yeah. I don't. No idea. But then yeah, and then also like really pretty girls or something like that or whatever you're attracted to, like just the thoughts that creep in, where it's like, I don't need you to understand them because it's probably pretty simple to understand. I just don't want you to hear them because I'm trying to not distract you. You know what I mean? Of just like typical, like it's probably a pretty straight line of how you understand it, but it's just like, I'm sorry, thoughts are happening. I like, you know,
but it's
like
your cleavage. It's such a natural thing. You know what I mean? And I think that it would be more accustomed once you reach that level.
It is, but sometimes, like, I don't disagree, but sometimes it's like, hey, no, it's natural, but this is really annoying. Like, yeah. I just want to get to what I'm trying to say. Like, you know what I mean? And so I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, let's talk off the link. I'm old-fashioned, you know.
What is your understanding of the concept of God?
I think we all have a natural gravitation towards something great. I think we all inherently know we don't have it all figured out, and that we are all instinctually inspired by something. You can take that down to the, you know, we all want, like, a pack leader type thing, or the, you know, we all want, like, the Freudian, like, the father thing, but I don't like land on any of those. I think culturally we are all open for something that is greater than us because we do feel that, I think we all kind of inherently feel this isn't all there is. I'm not talking about afterlife or anything like that, even though those are concepts that are like, who knows, maybe. Yeah, like absolutely. But I think the wonderment that we do feel and the concept that things can, like a really funny idea or a song lyric that can seemingly kind of manifest out of nothing, like, and all of a sudden it just like falls out of you. I think there's always that little gear there of like something kind of like magical about that. And like, you know, I think we all are tapped into something. I am pretty much against the idea of like a greater consciousness, like something that thinks and like judges people. And, you know, has, like a set of rules that are very contradictory.
The universe is not like that.
Well, yeah, people are.
Exactly, yeah. Humans are.
Isn't that a fun fact?
There's the human God, and then there's the universal metaphysical God.
I like the idea that we don't know the true scope of existence, and that this could be just, like, one tier of it, or just of reality.
Yeah, kind
of
it absolutely is.
And so I'm open to it. I think ultimately we all want to feel like there's a bit of justification for
why things happen.
Yeah, and it just makes us sleep better.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of, I think the truth of, it's not, we're just this, we are just kind of a very spectacular kind of series of events that are happening, and now we're just left to kind of figure it out on our own, hopefully like against the clock. It's a tougher truth to swallow, even though it's the most supported. It's just, it's like, not only is it still like a lot of openings for other stuff, but still it's just like, you have to kind of consider a lot of other things before you can land confidently on that and, like, be cool with it. For, like, a person who doesn't like to do these deep dive conversations and stuff, and they just want to talk about the weather or what... Did you see Martha was wearing the other day and all that stuff?
Idle chatter.
They don't have the gear for that, you know? Yeah. And they believe in God. It's going to make you happier. Like, you're not going to get here, like, on your... You know, you just believe in the babysitter thing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And that's where... my discussion of funk comes in, because it's kind of a non-religious view of what God could be.
Mm-hmm.
And when people hear God, that's why, another reason why it's called funk, because when people hear God, they think of the religious God and the man-made God and everything. Mm-hmm. When really it's just like, to my understanding, and again, this is open to change, I kind of think that all this entire experience, all of this together, that is it's funk. That is God. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But again, that's why I call it funk, because God, they're two in the same. God comes from funk. Mm-hmm. It is a construct of funk. And, like, if anything, if there's more funk outside of that funk, then again, it's just funk. And so...
I'm missing a definition of funk here, because to me, funk is very genre specific, very sound specific. When we say funk,
it's like, everything.
I get that, but musically, which is the only place from my starting point, is it's not everything. There are entire like notes and stuff that are left out that aren't even within any genre categorized as funk. That's like the biggest like block that I'm having of like grabbing it.
Yeah, and that's why it's still in process.
Okay.
And so, linguistically, that's the easiest way that I can describe it so far. It's funk.
Mm.
And
I mean, I like it. It's very attractive.
It's just synonymous. Some people like it, some people don't like it. Because, again, I think it's the distraction.
It gets so... Well, especially if something gets so big. It's like, okay, well, now it's kind of everything. I'm like, I get that, but it's like, there's a lot of like questions. You know what I mean? But as far as a general kind of wrapping things up, I like it. It's very... it's funner to get behind, especially if you're trying to like create other people just, you know, subscribing to something. It's cool. There's like a general positivity to it.
That's what I've been observing with it.
Which was also my, I don't know if this was on air or not, where I was like, when you say funk is everything, I'm like, funk is essentially a very specific flavor of something. Like I was saying, you don't get any dark funk or sad, like emo funk. It just doesn't exist within the genre.
It's all of that.
Okay.
And so I get what you mean with the genre of funk.
Yeah.
Yes, I would agree.
Or just the feelings that come with that, like, label.
Yeah. Kind of
a thing. But it's typically one flavor. Synonym, or a couple of flavors.
It's all the flavors. Mm. And that funk is whatever you're experiencing at that moment. Mm. You're experiencing that level of funk within the next echelon of funk.
Mm.
And so it's never ending.
And I do like funk. It's one of my favorite genres.
Yeah, same. And that's another reason why I think it resonates with most people, is because, again, most people feel funk. Like, it really resonates. Mm. Like, it really gets you moving.
And yeah.
That's funk.
One of my favorite riffs in, like, metal music is bounce riffs. Typically, like, New Wave kind of stole most of them, but still, it's like the very catchy version of riffs, which was a evolution of, like, Rage Against the Machines doing funk riffs with distortion guitars.
Oh, yeah.
And it was basically, it just took funk riff and then just, like, drop-D'd it. So you capture that kind of positive, springy feeling, but in, like, a very, like, grungier, kind of crunchier type of a thing. And one of the coolest things about, like, most metal music is it's, like, drum syncopation is very primal. You get, like, which takes us back to, like, the very first, or before any sort of string instruments were even invented and stuff. The thing that would actually get people, like, inspired, tribes and stuff, would be that type of music and ceremony. And when you hear that type of thing live, you see people just kind of going crazy. And
because I feel you like feel it's it, you resonate them.
Yeah,
yeah, that's that funk feeling that I would describe, and that's another thing when I was because before the word funk came to me, I had been doing the draw book and I had been kind of researching all this together with people, and I had noticed that feeling,
people just going crazy
of just like people feeling reality, and then eventually it connected with me like. The idea of funk.
Well, there's an interesting thing. It's almost a mass hypnosis to where when there's like that song that you like or that part of the song, you're not thinking about anything else. You are just now like
you're
part
in the moment.
Of it. Yeah. Like it just frees you from the rest of your reality, kind of a thing. However, if you don't like the song or that part that you don't like, you are like checking your phone or you're just like holding your head. Like, I don't want to go use the restroom or something like that. Really just push you out of the bubble, shoot you out of it. And so it's tricky to pin on what's that one thing that everyone resonates with.
And the last question.
Yeah.
Can you recall the last time you experienced a funk moment or a moment of funk awareness?
I mean, I would like to say literally the other night when we were, with your definition of funk, which is kind of all encapsulating, like me and my buddy Zach were driving back from a wedding thing, and we were just sharing music and stuff, but we both liked to freestyle because it's just fun, and we put it on and it's just a beat, and it's one of those, and we were killing it. There's a certain time where you freestyle and it's really forced and you're just not hitting it.
I know exactly what you mean,
but every now and then you're just kind of on a ride.
Yeah,
it is all just falling out because you were just in it, and so it's like the music itself is like just pulling it out of you in a very natural order, and you're just snapping it. And, like, we were both just on point because it was, like, the right combination of things. It was just, like, coming... it was manifesting from something, like, greater.
And you feel those moments, right? It's like a full-body kind of...
I appreciate them. I'd like to think so, yeah. It's something, I try to notice it as something special, which is, you know, also I like to roll that into why I feel like we all like to suspect something greater or grander or just bigger than us, you know what I mean? Which I'm totally into, you know.
But also there was that funk moment between you listening to Vibrations and then my album being called Vibrations.
I'm going which to.
It is coincidence, but again, that's just that's a funk moment.
This is all, I like how this is all one album plug, the whole thing. It's like, yeah, that was the crux of it. It's like, and by the way, listen to my album. And
yeah, like, also listen to my album. You should. I'm very proud of that one.
No, I'll definitely check it out. Oh, cool. I love new music. I don't know if where this ties in. The feeling of hearing a new song that you like is such a very, I'd compare it to like almost like a drug feeling where it's like, that like, dang, this is great and this is new. Like,
that's, you know, the fun feeling I'm talking about.
Yeah, I like that feeling a lot. If anything, I might chase it.
Yeah.
Because then you know, you kind of roll through an album a couple of times and it's like you squeeze the juice out of it and now I'm going to kind of take a break on this. Like I drank all the juice from it. And you find three or four things that don't hit you the same. You just kind of keep moving forward. Then you hit the fourth thing. Here it is again. Yeah. I'm back. I found the new thing that I'm like kind of crazy about right now. I love that.
Because you can't force it. Yeah. It has to come naturally.
And you don't know. It can come from a place where you never would have expected it.
Yeah.
Some like I don't generally like a lot of pop stuff or a lot of like, I don't know, like emo stuff. But every now and then there's just one that's like undeniable that catches me. I'm like, even in this genre that I don't even really fuck with, this one got, found, like, in that lane, like, I still appreciate this a lot, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, like, they still, the right combination of things to win me over.
And then I guess I have one more kind of question.
Mm-hmm.
What's on your mind now? Or what is about to be on your mind?
Because I'm in the moment right now. I'm, like, listening, but...
what's coming to you?
No, the thing, I mean, I just checked my phone, because now I'm starting to think both, got a show later tonight, Secret Group, Trash... Oh, I forgot, this is a month from now. They're not going to... Yeah.
You can still plug it.
Yeah. Secret Trash Flavor, Trash the Secret Group. It's every, Tuesday at 10:30. It's a fun little party show. Great comics, great crowds. But I was thinking about that. And then part of me was kind of thinking about... I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about tonight. I was already starting to think about stuff, like, already. It was my ADD starting to wonder, all right, what's the next thing I'm going to like take on today, kind of a thing. And I was thinking about how much time I had. Do I have time to nap, kind of rest, maybe not talk for a bit, like, you know what I mean, just kind of be quiet, because you don't want to talk all day and then get up there and kind of scratch exactly and stuff like that. But I guess that was like the only other thing I was ruminating about. And then honestly, there's a secondary thing. We're at my parents' house in Houston, Texas, and I was raised very religious. And I'm like, I wonder if they can hear all this God talk, because I know they wouldn't like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they would not like be happy. And I'm like, all right, good luck. And that's what it is. But you know,
hopefully they listen to the podcast when it comes out.
Sure, I'll show it to them. Yeah, I'll let them know. That was the second I was like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, their ears against the window.
Yeah, they're not that type of person. But I was just thinking, I was like, well, what if they're just like walking by and there's like, God's not real. And I'm like, I didn't say that, but
no, I think God is real.
But that's what they'd hear. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Hey, God, I'm cool with you. What's up? Yeah, I'm open to it. I'm on team everything, like, philosophically with, like, Jesus. Like the pacifist, like, the peaceful, like, the accepting others. Like, I like all of that, like, prescriptive,
his,
like,
ideology.
Blueprint. I'm a very kind, accepting kind of person.
Yeah.
Even people who are, like, shunned on and stuff, I have, like, an open door kind of
more
a thing.
Accepted, yeah.
Yeah, I'm
if
very...
If only more Christians were like Jesus.
Yeah. Socialists is what they'd be.
Yeah.
That sucks. I'm very anti-tribalism. Very trying to help one another. Like, I like that sense of going about your way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it helps everyone around you.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so, you know, shout out to JC.
Well, Mark, any more plugs or anything?
No.
Where people follow you?
I think we're good. Yeah, again, Mark X Mind on Twitter. I tweet little jokes and stuff. Give me a follow. And The Mark Hurtado on Instagram. Post clips of my stand-up, but then also just random, my adventures and stuff. If you're looking for someone to follow, or just check it out. If you don't like it, unsubscribe. Get out of there, boy.
Yeah.
Live your life, you know?
Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
And Venmo again at Mark.
I forgot that we're plugging Venmo. Yes, send me a Venmo. I'd be very appreciative.
Yeah. Well, Mark, thanks again for being on.
Thank you.
And thank everyone for listening. Love y'all. Meow.